Have a question about an NFL team, player, or maybe a college prospect? Every Friday on the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, I, Steve the Scout, will answer your questions. Questions can go directly to me at stevethescout81@gmail.com. Again, stevethescout81@gmail.com. For news updates and alerts, go to stevethescout.com and follow me on Twitter at stevethescout81.
Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Today is Friday, August 31st. You know what that means? It means that we're less than a week away from the start of a new NFL season. And guess what? We are also getting ready for the start of a new college football season. Typically, 9 months before the NFL draft or so is when I start looking at and writing my scouting reports on players that will be in the draft next year. Today's show is focused around the Heisman Trophy, so I'm going to be giving five scouting reports on five players that should be in the running for the Heisman and also should be in next year's NFL draft. Around 5:30 yesterday, I started watching the tape. Did not get done watching the tape on these five players till almost 11 at night. So I have spent, although it's only been one day, I spent a good amount of time watching tape on five players, a good 5 hours or so. So I am excited to bring you that content today, give you my scouting reports on these five players, and talk about what I think they could do at the next level. I'm not so interested in terms of who's going to win the Heisman. I'm just giving you how these Heisman players can perform at the next level. And look, the Heisman Trophy, it's a quarterback and running back competition. A quarterback and running back wins it every year. Typically, it's a quarterback. Yes, you've had tight ends that have won the trophy, like Larry Kelly and Leon Hart. Desmond Howard and Tim Brown, they won it as wide receivers. Charles Woodson won it one time as a defensive player. But look, he was primarily a defensive player. He did a lot more stuff outside of that. And same thing with, you know, guys like Desmond Howard, kickoff returner. So we've never really seen a guy win that is a pure defensive player. So I believe there is one guy this year that is good enough that he should at least be in the running for it. Today I'm going to evaluate five players. We're going to be taking a look at two quarterbacks, two running backs, and a defensive lineman. So without any further ado, let's go into breaking these guys down. Someone who was in the running for Heisman last year, but he did not win, was Bryce Love, the running back from Stanford, a guy that's very popular in the college football world. And I did a long scouting report on Bryce Love, wrote it myself yesterday. So here's what I saw when I evaluated his tape. Look, Bryce Love is a home run hitter. No doubt about that. He's got elite shiftiness, elite short area quickness, great stutter step ability. And if he gets into the open field and has daylight, and look, he's had plenty of opportunity to do so in the game tape that I've watched, he can do some major damage and take it to the house. And he's fast enough to do that even at the next level. At times, he's demonstrated great patience, but to me, it's not as much. I don't see that patience as much when he goes against better competition, which he's going to need when he gets into the NFL. My issues with him is that I feel that he's going to get eaten up in the backfield if run blocking is not solid. I went back last year and watched his game against USC. A lot of times in that game, he wasn't following his blocks, and he was getting eaten up in the backfield when they weren't protecting him. I think at the next level, he's going to need a good offensive line if he's going to be successful. He doesn't always follow his blocks in the first and second level. When he does it, it looks really nice. Yes, you know, a lot of his big runs have come against inferior competition were teams that can't tackle, and he's had a lot of daylight, which has played to his strengths. You know, he's got the quickness, the home run speed, but what he lacks to me is initial explosion. And if you compare more recently drafted running backs like Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, those guys to me have way more explosiveness out of the gate than he does. To me, he doesn't have the versatility of his former teammate and friend Christian McCaffrey. But look, if he gets into the open field, he's a home run hitter. Despite the negatives, again, there are still examples of him showing patience and vision, but he's going to need to do it more consistently at the next level, especially just looking at patience on the first and second level. He does it well, but he's going to need to get better at that, in my opinion. I think durability is going to be a concern for him. Right now, I would draft him in the late second, early third, because I don't know how long he can stay healthy for. He's not going to be an elite blocker, and he absolutely, absolutely will need a good offensive line to thrive at the next level. If you put him on a team with a bad offensive line, I think his value is going to go down tremendously compared to other running backs. Yes, everyone needs an offensive line, but I think he needs it especially. If you do put him on a team with a good offensive line and you give him some time, he should have an impact at the next level. But again, I wouldn't draft him until maybe the second or third round. Now, the other running back that I'm going to go over is Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma. Look, Rodney Anderson, to me, this guy is a natural runner of the football. More so than Bryce Love. And when you want to look at a natural between the tackles runner with vision, he beats him on that. No question about it when I look at him. He's not as fast as Bryce Love, but he has a better initial burst. He has elite first step quickness. That's one of the things that he has, and he also has great explosion and great vision at the first and second level. What I like about him is he is a big, powerful guy. He rarely goes down after the first contact, and this is something that I noticed in several games. Rodney Anderson from Oklahoma, he has the size, the power, and the natural skill set, I believe, to be an every down back in the NFL. Not everyone who's a big running back is powerful. I've seen some jacked running backs that when you turn on the tape, they really don't display that much power. Having a lot of muscle doesn't mean you have a lot of power. Having a lot of power means you have a lot of power. Look, but he runs with immense power. He'll bulldoze you. He'll bounce off of you. He's helpful in the screen game. He is a solid route runner. I love his ability to bounce outside. He has with great reaction time and just, again, solid vision on all three levels. The negatives that I can give him are this, is that, look, he does have great speed, but he's not the same kind of home run ability that you're going to get from recently drafted guys like Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, or even Saquon Barkley. He's not going to have the breakaway speed at those guys. I did notice on a few plays, it really looked like he can improve his blocking fundamentals. It looked like he was having a hard time getting locked onto his target. And look, he has the potential, I believe, to be one of the 10 to 15 best running backs in the NFL, if not better. And considering the amount of talent that's at the running back position today, that's pretty impressive. Look at the running backs that we have now. Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Le'Veon Bell, Jordan Howard. I don't need to keep going. The point is that if you are a top 10 to 15 running back in today's NFL, you're an elite player in this league. So when I look at Rodney Anderson in terms of where he should go, I would pick him between picks 20 to 32. If someone were to ask me what is a pro comparison for Rodney Anderson, I would say that to me he reminds me of a more powerful, explosive, and nastier version of DeMarco Murray. For those of you that say DeMarco Murray is only good because of the Cowboys' offensive line, you're crazy. There's plenty of tape on him in terms of just his running ability that speaks volumes about what he was able to do. Look, DeMarco Murray wasn't able to stay at his peak as long as he would have liked, and I think Rodney Anderson is going to be more durable than him. He's the more natural runner, but they do look eerily similar when running the football. I think Rodney Anderson is going to be a solid running back at the next level. So that does it for the running backs. I'm going to go over the two quarterbacks, and then I'm going to end with my one defensive player. Looking at Drew Lock, the quarterback from Missouri. Drew Lock stands at 6'4". Here's what I saw when I evaluated the Missouri quarterback, Drew Lock. He scans the field incredibly fast. He's got a smooth throwing motion, a quick release. I like how he scans the field. He scans the field in a hurry. In terms of watching him scan the field and making decisions, I see it looks very similar to what I saw from Jimmy Garoppolo in college. Now, that does not mean he is Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'll tell you why in a second. But from the time he winds back in his throwing motion until the time that he gets it into the receiver's hands, which is low to arrival, which is, you know, if you're a right-handed quarterback, from the time your left hand comes off the ball, how many seconds or milliseconds does it take to get that ball into the hands of your receiver? When he does that, it's elite. So he has great zip on the first and second level, no doubt about that. Where my concern for him is really going to be his deep ball. On a lot of his deep balls, they sail a lot, and they typically lose a lot of velocity. And look, the deep ball of every single quarterback, they're going to lose a little bit of velocity, but for him, I noticed it was a big drop-off. There are definitely a number of plays that I saw him throw a deep ball very well, but a lot of times those balls were sailing a lot and just seemed like there was a bigger drop-off than I would expect in his deep passes compared to his short and medium range. His short to medium range accuracy, I just love his quick decision-making. He's so fast to scan the field and so fast to get the ball in the receiver's hands, throws with great zip on the short to medium game, but I'm going to want to see more of him throwing the deep ball this year. In terms of athletic ability, look, he's athletic enough to make plays with his legs, but he's usually not one to take off, and I mean, honestly, that's a pretty good thing. When I look at his athleticism, yeah, he can buy time with his legs, but, you know, it's not going to be anything that's out of this world. Look, he has a great upside, but despite all this lofty praise, I don't think he's NFL ready next year, and then here's why. He needs to slow down. And the fact that he rushes through things, that's why he's not NFL ready. Look, I see it at the line of scrimmage. Look, as fast as he goes through his progressions and as much praise as I give him saying he goes through his progressions like Jimmy Garoppolo, two of the major differences between him and Garoppolo at the college level is field vision. He needs to work on the field vision, and I think part of that is because he rushes through things. Again, I mentioned the deep ball. It loses a lot of zip compared to the short to medium range passes, but look, when I watch him, you know, on in terms of his field vision, you know, after going through his progressions, the safety is breaking on the play and they're making a lot of interceptions, and that's something that he seems to miss a lot. He throws into double coverage. He seems to a lot of times ignore what the safety is going to do over the top. The areas, again, where he really needs to get better is going to be that field vision after going through his progressions, as well as I'd like to see him throw a better deep ball. And just too many times when the ball was more than a medium range pass, it started to sail. When I look at, you know, where Drew Lock should be drafted, if I'm an NFL GM, to me, he is a mid-second round pick who needs to sit for a year. If he becomes a more intelligent quarterback, does more pre-play at the line of scrimmage, does a better job with his field vision, he has the potential to be a franchise quarterback, but those are things that he definitely has to work on. Look, he appears to be a very on-edge type A personality, and maybe that's part of it, but he's got to stop predetermining how routes are going to develop as opposed to anticipating how they're going to develop. So that's my take on Drew Lock, the quarterback from Missouri. Now the other quarterback, Justin Herbert from Oregon. Taking a look at this guy, what are some things that I like about Justin Herbert? He has elite arm strength, and much more important, he has elite velocity and release time. It's the combination of velocity and release time that's the only important measuring stick for arm strength in the NFL. I talked about it before. It's called load to arrival. If you're a right-handed quarterback, the second your left hand comes off the ball to the time it gets into your receiver's hands, that's how you should measure arm strength at the next level. When I look at Herbert, you know what I like is that he's able to make split second decisions on what to do. When defenses are breaking on the ball, he's good at reading that. His zip, comparing him to Drew Lock, he throws it with a lot more velocity. He throws a better deep ball, but Drew Lock zips it in there. But Justin Herbert definitely, in my opinion, has a lot more arm velocity on his throws. Some other things that I noticed about Justin Herbert is that, you know, he has incredible anticipation. It's NFL quality anticipation. He's 6'6". And because of his height, it definitely allows him to have better anticipation and have a better feel for how these routes are gonna develop. But he definitely has just a natural feel for when windows are gonna open, and he anticipates them very well. He is accurate. And another thing is that, you know, he is still highly accurate on the run, and he can do more damage with his legs, I think, than Drew Lock can, just based on what I saw initially. Still very accurate on the run. Again, throws into tight windows, can make plays with his legs. His 6'6" ability, the fact that he's 6'6", that helps him a lot. Where I also see him do a lot of good stuff is he's very active pre-snap. He's consistently sliding coverages. And picking up blitzes. His coaches have described him as tenacious, hardworking, and very competitive. But to me, when I see him, he has a look and sort of like the humbleness of a soft-spoken European hockey player. But his coaches do say he is a good vocal leader on the field. His head coach actually has him say at least one thing to every player after every snap in practice. When I look at Justin Herbert's cons. Look, this is the one guy that I actually looked at other people's scouting reports, and it seems like the constant knock that people have on him is that he doesn't scan the field well, and his accuracy fades when he goes to his third or second look. To me, I'm not worried about that at all, and I'll tell you why. In the Oregon offense, it's helpful if you're a rhythm passer, and in that offense, quarterbacks are typically locked on to one receiver. If people are criticizing him on that, I don't think that's fair, because he's more so that he's a victim of that system in regards to going through his progressions. When I watch his eyes, I see them actively moving around the field, and I think it's something that he's going to get better at the next level. People said the same thing about Marcus Mariota, and he's been just fine. Justin Herbert has the upside to be a franchise quarterback. To me, if I'm a GM, I would draft him in the first 10 picks, no question about it. I am a Giants fan. You know, one thing that I would say is, you know, he probably would be a very good fit in Pat Shurmur's system, but I think Justin Herbert is going to be a good quarterback at the next level. I would take him over Drew Lock, and definitely, at least from my initial evaluation, I would take him in the top 10. Just what he does pre-play, his zip on the ball, his velocity and everything, his ability to anticipate and to anticipate routes thrown into tight windows. I love it. I think this guy is going to be good at the next level. And that is my evaluation on Justin Herbert, the quarterback from Oregon. Now, I mentioned I'm going to give you one defensive player. And that defensive player is Ed Oliver, the defensive lineman from Houston. Look, let me just be honest. I'm going to cut the crap right here. I'm going to get right to it. Watching the tape of Ed Oliver, if this guy was in the NFL draft this past April, to me, he would have been my top overall prospect in the entire draft over Saquon Barkley, over Quentin Nelson, over Bradley Chubb. Look, when I watched him, you know, if God created the perfect defensive lineman, I believe he would have created Ed Oliver. To me, his pro comparison, he is a combination of Aaron Donald and Von Miller. You think I'm crazy? Well, guess what? People said I was crazy years ago when I said Aaron Donald could be the best defensive tackle ever, and look how he's played. But look, I'm telling you, this guy is a rare breed. Being honest, he is on the college tape as good a defensive lineman as I have ever watched, ever. And I'm talking about anyone. He's 6'3". He's 300 pounds. He is ridiculously quick out of his stance and ridiculously explosive. That part reminds me a lot of Aaron Donald. In terms of that explosion and getting into the backfield, he's on the same level with Aaron Donald, what I saw on his college tape at Pitt, but he gets into the backfield faster. That's pretty scary. He has a nonstop motor, and if you look at his sideline to sideline range, it's the best I've ever seen from a guy that size at the college level. It's Pro Bowl NFL middle linebacker sideline to sideline range. Better than what you'd see even from Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt in terms of that particular characteristic. He plays with a low pad level at all times. He has one of the best noses for getting to the quarterback I've ever seen. He destroys plays in the backfield nonstop, and he has a full arsenal of pass rush moves. When he gets into the league, he is a home run prospect. He is going to dominate. There's no question about it. Look, he's probably the best defensive lineman in terms of college tape, again, that I can ever remember watching. You're going to see this guy regularly on Sundays, splitting the guard and the tackle like it's a routine thing. I honestly can't find one weakness in his game. Look, I've not gone through a lot of the players for next year's draft class. There's still a ton for me to go through. But right now, if I had a big board, this guy would be number one. But again, it's very, very early in that process for me. And again, people are going to say I'm crazy for saying that he could be Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt good. But look, when you turn on the tape does not lie. This guy literally has Hall of Fame potential. And I did a little research yesterday, and with the exception of two draft classes, every draft class between 1981 to 1997 had a Hall of Famer in it. So that means that this past year's draft class and this next year's draft class, there's probably going to be Hall of Famers that are selected in the first round. So to say that he is potentially a Hall of Famer player, it's not that much of a stretch considering we see them come out in the draft every single year. When I look at Ed Oliver, he is a guy that is going to straight take over games on Sunday. There's no weakness in his game. When mock drafts come out next year, I wouldn't be surprised if you see this guy as the number one overall pick. To me, he is that special. The last defensive lineman I saw on the college tape that was even close to as good as him was Aaron Donald. Ed Oliver, the defensive lineman from Houston, is a rare, once-in-a-generation talent. So that wraps up everything for today. I was excited to give you scouting reports on five players in the Heisman that should be in the Heisman running this year, that should also be in the NFL draft next year. Join me again on Monday. On Monday's episode, I'm going to be going over the new premier position in the NFL. Everyone knows that positions like quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, shutdown corner, those are all now premier positions in the league that teams are going to pay for. But I believe there's a new premier position that teams are going to pay a lot of money for that isn't really being talked about. Until next time, this is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast signing off. You guys have a great weekend.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.